Our oldest is Harmony, then Melody and Trinity, and we do have a baby, Charity. She is in the nursery right now. She is our baby we had on deputation. We had to take a little break for her to come into our family in the end of the year in December. She's our 2020 model that snuck in at the end of the year. Very thankful and blessed for her, and it is all girls, but we're very thankful and blessed for what God has given us, and they're going to do a special for you real quick, and one thing I've learned is how to be a blessing to others is to not to sing. Let them, so let them sing for you here.
Hi, good evening. I'd like to share a testimony. I want to say I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for your faithfulness. We were here 5 years ago, and it's just so encouraging to come back and see people that we met 5 years ago, and just to see that the work is still continuing, and that it's just so nice. Traveling the country this past year on deputation, and we've been in lots of churches, and I just wanted to share that I'm also thankful for eternity and how we're a family in Christ. We may not know each other, we're just strangers and we just met, but we know that one day we're going to live together in eternity, and I just want to share that. So I'm so thankful for eternity. After we left, I'll make it real quick, in, can't remember, 2017, my baby brother passed away, and the verses that we're going to recite are really special to my heart. He passed away 2 weeks exactly after his 18th birthday, and I share that because I got saved when I was 15, but I didn't surrender to ministry right when I got saved. I just got saved, and when he went to be with the Lord, my whole life changed. My family questioned God, and I felt like besides my husband, and I was like, how can you question God? You know, he's in eternity. We're going to see him again. And I went to my husband and prayed, and I just want to share that with you. Sometimes we have things happen in our life that we don't understand, but God has a plan, and we just want our family to be a blessing here in Alaska. And so I want to share that I'm thankful for your faithfulness and that we can be here with you. The first verse is John 6. John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Ye cannot serve two masters. Either ye will hate the one and love the other, or else ye will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Who Jesus is. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. He's the lily of the valley.
the brightest morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know.
On the cross he died for sinners, and his blood makes white as snow. Loving, living, coming Savior, he's the one you ought to know.
Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know.
Everybody ought to know. Who Jesus is.
Who Jesus is.
Jesus Loves Me, her favorite song. And she gets to sing her favorite song.
I don't want to sing that song. I want to sing Jesus Loves Me.
All right, well, we just a little bit about who we are before I get into it. Both my wife and I were born and raised in Oklahoma, and my grandfather's been a Baptist preacher for almost 50 years now, and I'm very thankful for parents that not only took me to church growing up, but also taught me the Word of God and taught me how to have a relationship with Jesus. And I was homeschooled at the age of 10 years old, and the homeschool curriculum I was using asked a question I couldn't answer, and it said, if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? And I got real nervous, and I was like, well, I've been to Sunday school, I heard the stories, and I don't want to go to hell, but I don't know how to go to heaven, so I'm thankful I could go to my parents, and they explained it to me, and Holy Spirit convicted me, and I realized I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and I repented, gave my life to the Lord, and I was baptized shortly after, and as my wife says, she was saved and baptized at the age of 15, but at 18 years old, I was all excited, and I ran down to the recruiting office, enlisted in the United States Marine Corps, but right after I enlisted, I felt God's call in my life to get into ministry, and I really struggled with it, because I was like, Lord, you got the wrong Justin. I don't think you got the right one here. And so I was really burdened with this. I went to my pastor at the time, my grandfather, and I asked him, how did you know that God called you to ministry? He's like, you know, does God open heaven and audibly say, I want to use you? He's like, no, that's not how it works. And he said, let me see your Bible. So I handed my Bible, and he handed it back to me. He said, just read and study the Word of God. Read and study as much time as you have. Any opportunity you have, free time. And he's like, I'm not talking about a Proverbs of day. I mean, spend time in the Word of God, and he'll be clear to you. And so that's what I would do. I would just read and study and spend as much time as I could. And I knew the Lord wanted me in the ministry. I didn't know when, where, how, or why, but I knew I had to give my life to the Lord. And I was all excited. And after some discipling, I went before the church, and I said, I'm just going to give my life to the Lord. And my wife and I were recording at the time, and she basically, as we're, you know, we're talking, said, two things I don't want. I want to marry a military person or someone in the ministry. And so I put a check in both those boxes. We went to our first duty station after we got married. And one of the first things we wanted to do was just get involved in the ministry. And we found a good church to be a part of there, Maranatha Baptist Church. And we had the opportunity to do a Bible Institute for 3 years while we were there. And we taught Sunday school, children's ministry, bus ministry, anything we could do to serve in the ministry. But in 2013, I had the opportunity to deploy to Afghanistan. And during my time there, I worked with NATO forces. And I worked with British, Danish, Swedish, Israeli, Jordanians, and the local Afghans there. And basically, our job was to go to these remote, the whole country of Afghanistan is remote, but go to these different villages and basically immerse yourself within their culture and to learn their culture, to gain their trust and win the heart and minds of the local, to gather intel and information. And at the time, I didn't know that the Lord was preparing me for a different kind of village work. And I just had opportunities, even in closed country, to preach the gospel when the Lord had given me opportunities. I'm very thankful for that. And I got back from deploying. My wife and I were talking about where we're going to serve in Alaska or where we're going to serve. And we talked about staying there in Maranatha, North Carolina. I talked about going to the church I grew up in. And as we're praying about what to do, we're going to reenlist, stay in, get what we're going to do. We had a missionary come from Alaska that we supported. And he gave the videos, the pictures, and gave an update of the ministry there. And I'll admit, I honestly forgot about Alaska. It never even crossed my mind until he showed those pictures and videos and just talked about his latest burden out there for the need of this work in remote villages. And ever since that day, the Lord placed a burden, a call, and a desire within me to go to these villages in Alaska. And we got out of the Marine Corps, that's when we kind of came up here for a little bit of time. And we came, if some of you may remember us, we were here back in 16 time frame, 2016. And we got the opportunity to kind of meet the Penix family, got the opportunity to kind of look around, see what we could do. And we went back to Oklahoma to help out my grandfather in the ministry for a little bit, get some more training, and work as a youth pastor, preach, music leading, all that. And then in 2019, we went up to Spokane area for a year to do some flight training and served in the church there while we were there. In 2020, I came up here in March with Brother Phoenix to go to one of the villages, Stephen's Village up there, and got to spend some time. And I just knew that's where the Lord wanted us to go. And we got back from, or I got back from that trip back in March 2020. And my wife and I are praying about a start date to start deputation. We're all excited. Like, we'll do July 13th, our 10-year anniversary, and perfect time to start. And then COVID happened. Everything's shutting down. Like, what do we do? Do we go? Do we stay? And the Lord said to go. And I'm like, okay, we'll go. And we just trusted in the Lord. We started by faith. And we planned for a year deputation. And we're just going to put all our faith and trust in the Lord. We hit the road full time. And the Lord just blessed and opened doors, windows, and everything else for us to fit into. And we're able to raise support in a year. And now we're up here just excited to get to preach in these villages and to preach the gospel. The greatest message we have today, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just to be able to, when I went up to one of the villages up in Stephen Village, and when you go to a place like that and you see a human being with a soul and some that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, it just broke my heart in a sense. I grew up in small town Oklahoma in the South, a Baptist church in every corner, and even if they don't go to church, they've heard the name of Jesus. And I think about it, there's just so many places, even in America, that just need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We talk about missions around the world. We need missionaries everywhere, but we can't forget about our backyard. We can't forget about our home state here. And we don't have to talk about anything other than we know that America's not in the greatest state right now. But also, this is a great opportunity to preach the gospel. There's more people to run into and need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's just been encouraging to know that we still serve a risen Savior. He's still alive. He's still in the world today. And it's a great opportunity to just preach the gospel. And that's kind of our plan, is to spend some time with Brother Penix here and be able to take some trips and get as much experience as we can. And our plan is probably go to the Fairbanks area to be closer and just spend as much time as we can, go to these villages, doing this circuit ministry, and just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And have opportunities to spend time with them, to fellowship, and build relationships. And we're just excited to serve the Lord. Before we started deputation, and I had people ask, well, if Christ is going to come back any time, then why go now, you know? Because He can come back at any time, and this is the greatest opportunity for us to serve. We know we're running out of time. I mean, that's a great encouragement for us, but that means we're running out of time. And it's just a great opportunity to serve Christ, a great opportunity to preach the gospel, a great opportunity to serve the risen Savior that we have, Jesus Christ. And I'm just excited to serve Him, and I'm excited to get things going. But if you do have your Bible with you this evening, if you don't mind, open up the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I have 2 points I wanted to talk about real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I obviously want to talk about, you know, it's hard to preach without preaching about the gospel. You know, it's just throughout the whole Bible. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's 2 things I want to talk about. One is the God of this world, and number 2 is the gospel light, the greatest weapon we have against the God of this world. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and if you can, if you're able to, if you don't mind standing for the reading of God's word in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll begin with verse 3 here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 3. It said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You'll bow your heads and pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just blessed and thankful, Lord, that we have this opportunity that we can gather together, Lord, and we can sing praises unto You, and we can have a time of fellowship, and we can open up Your Word. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that this evening You'll just be with me and just set me aside, Lord, and fill me with Your Spirit. Give me the words to say that will be honoring and glorifying to You, Lord. And Lord, we are just thankful, Lord, that we have our salvation through Christ and through Christ alone. And just thankful that You send Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. And I'm just thankful, Lord, that we have the opportunity to serve You. And just pray, Lord, that You'll just be with us this evening, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you may be seated. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 here in verse 4, It says, in whom the God of this world. They look at that phrase there, the lowercase g, God there, the God of this world. This is referring to Satan, or the devil, the God of this world. Satan is still alive, and he's still running around. He is still our greatest enemy that we have out there. And it's sometimes easy to forget that we're constantly in a spiritual battle every day. And sometimes it's easy to get clogged and forget about that, but there's still an enemy out there that will do anything he can to keep you from God. And even if you're saved, anything to ruin your testimony, anything to keep you to have a relationship with God, and if you're not saved, anything to keep you from God, because he knows how powerful that gospel light is. He knows how powerful that gospel message is. But as believers, if you're saved, you're giving your life to the Lord, there is an enemy out there. We cannot forget him. We cannot forget he is still running around. And whenever before I deployed, we take what we call build-up time. We take all this time to learn. But one of the biggest things we say is, yes, we're going to a third world country, but they would always say, never underestimate your enemy. Never underestimate. Just because, you know, we have a greater technology. We may have better training. We may have this, and that. But never underestimate your enemy. And as believers, we have this same concept that we can never underestimate our enemy. If you really think about it, Satan has had over 2,000 years to perfect a false church, a false gospel, a false spirit. I mean, anything that God has, he will try to duplicate and make a false of. Anything to deceive us, anything to destroy us, anything to keep us away from God. And Revelation chapter 2, verse 24, talks about the church of Thyatira. And it talks about the doctrine of Jezebel. It also says, those who have not known the depths of Satan, how far, how deep, how wide Satan will go to destroy. He has no end in a sense. He'll go as far as he needs to destroy. He'll go as far, we won't go there, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about he can transform to an angel of light. He can appear as something beautiful. He can appear as something appealing, and he has false ministers. He has false preachers. He has everything false that God has. It's easy to get deceived. But as believers, we have the greatest weapon in the world. A lot of times we don't use it. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. But this is our greatest weapon we have, and it's okay to use it. It's okay to read it. It's okay to study. It's okay to have a close relationship with the Lord. That's the best thing we have today. And I remember growing up in church, I mean, I was pretty much born in the nursery. Like, we if the church doors were open or closed, we were there. We just served, we were just always there. And at the time, I didn't really think about it as a young child. I'm like, why are we always at church? Why do we always have to do this, and that? But I look back, and I don't think I could ever thank my parents enough for taking me to church as a child. For not only take me to church, but making sure that we read our Bible every day to make sure we had a relationship with Christ. And as a young child, I didn't really get it at the time. But I mean, there's times I would fight it. But I look back now, I'm like, I'm just thankful I had parents that would do that. And if you had parents today that take you to church, that teach the Word of God at home, you are far blessed than most people that have parents that love you enough that will want to do that. I look back now, I'm very thankful for that. And it gave me a foundation that I needed. I mean, I grew up in an independent fundamental front pew sitting fried chicken eating against everything Baptist, and then I went to the Marine Corps, and it was just a completely different lifestyle. And if you know much about the Marine Corps, it was founded in Tun Tavern in 1775 in a bar, and everything revolves around alcohol. It's very traditional. They love their tradition, everything, but it's not a Sunday school environment, really. And when I got into that, my first year was really difficult because I didn't drink. I've never had a sip of alcohol in my life, and I didn't do all this kind of stuff, and they looked at me, and they're like, you don't drink? You don't do this? You don't do that? And I was like, no. Where I come from, we didn't do that, you know. But as I went through that, it was really hard my first year. It was a lot of trials and struggles. But after I got through that first year, they started looking at me, and it was like, you know, there is something different about you. And it gave me opportunities to preach the gospel. It gave me opportunities to be a light. But, I mean, that first year was just really hard. And the devil just threw everything he had plus more at me. But one of the greatest things that helped was when we first got there, my wife and I wanted to find a good church to be a part of, a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And I mean, we were there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, the pastor was going to paint the walls. We'd sit in a pew, make sure that paint dried. We just wanted to be really involved in church, and that was the greatest thing that ever happened to us. Serving in a local church is the greatest blessing you could ever do. Whether teaching Sunday school, the bus route, children's ministry, I mean, if you want to learn patience, man, get into children's ministry. Get on the bus route. It's a great joy to be able to serve Christ at that. And at the time, I didn't know where or when God was going to use us. But just because I didn't know didn't mean I wasn't going to serve. Man, I just wanted to do something. And we taught all different kind of ages, Sunday school class, all this experience. It was just a great time serving Christ. But because we're so involved in church, And throughout the work week, you know, I go on either deployment or go out in the field and stuff. But when I went back to church on Sunday morning, I was like, oh, I could take a break. Surrounded by fellow believers, surrounded by the family of God, there's just no greater encouragement than that. I mean, like what you have here tonight, being surrounded by the family of God, this is something amazing to have. And we talk about persecution, we talk about, you know, how hard it is in America, and we look at Afghanistan right now, it's all over the news, and it's not an easy place to live. It's not an easy place to say, hey, I'm a Christian, I want to go hold church services. But man, what we have here to be able to gather together, to openly sing praises unto God, to open up the Word of God, I mean, this is just amazing. And we should never take this for granted. I remember growing up in youth, and I always had our youth teacher always say, you know, there may come a day where they'll take your Bible away in America. Do you have enough Bible in you to continue being a Christian? I'm like, this is America. They're never going to take our Bibles away, and you never know. But we have this opportunity now to preach the gospel. Because in verse 4 here, it talks about whom the God of this world, had blinded the minds of them, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. In John chapter 8, Jesus claims to be this light. He says, I am the light of the world. Christ came to die for our sins. And again, I've grown up in church. I've heard the gospel story so many times, but it just never gets old. And what's amazing is the gospel message that we preach today is the same gospel that would save a man like Saul, who would murder Christians, become a man like Paul. I mean, that powerful conversion there, that same gospel that Paul has, is the same gospel we preach today. It's amazing because we have that powerful gospel message that we can take to this lost and dying world. We just got to take it. And we have to take this light. We sing that light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send that light. It's a great hymn we sing. We don't just sing because it sounds great. There's really some theological truth there that we have the most beautiful gospel light in the world that we can take to this lost and dying world. And in verse 5 it says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. If you go over to 2 Thessalonians, I believe it is, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. What's amazing is that God is God. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. He can do whatever He wants. He is God. What's amazing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, that He chooses to use us. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, God wants to use us to preach this gospel. He allows us to preach His gospel. And back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you skip down to verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have the Holy Ghost. We have the Comforter that dwells within us. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about how we are the temple of God. The Holy Ghost resides within us. But verse 19, it says, don't forget that you are bought with a price. We are bought with a price. The gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, this opportunity we had to preach it. This beautiful treasure that we have that we can give to a lost and dying world. It's the most amazing thing in the world. But we still have an enemy out there. An enemy that we cannot underestimate. An enemy we cannot forget about. Because He's not slowing down, and He's not stopping. And believe, if you give your life to the Lord, you honestly have two things to look forward to. No one likes to talk about death. But as a believer, death is a promotion. Like, it's an excitement. Like, we get to be with Jesus. And that's something great we have to look forward to. But other than death, we also have what we call the blessed hope. The coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. We have death and the blessed hope to look forward to. And there's really no negative there. I mean, if we die, we get to be with Jesus. If we don't die and Jesus returns, we get to be with Jesus. So, I mean, there's really, and in between that, we get this opportunity to just serve Him. We get this opportunity to be a blessing to others, to take this message, this gospel, beautiful message to a lost and dying world. But as a believer, there's really nothing negative to look forward to. Pastor mentioned James this morning that, man, we can glory in tribulation. We can count it all joy in tribulations. If you go to Romans, let's go to Romans chapter 5 real quick. Romans chapter 5. And it's amazing how the Holy Spirit works. And they both have the same mind here. They're talking about this. And Romans chapter 5 here, James talks about count all joy and tribulation. Paul says here in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. If I were to ask you tonight, like, how many of you have had a hard time? Everybody would be raising their hand saying, I've had a difficult time. I've had this happen. And we've all had hard times. We've all had those trials. We've had those tribulations. And we could all say, well, I've probably had it worse than someone else. Or maybe I had it worse. We could all go back and forth. But back in 2 Corinthians, I like how Paul puts it. You talk about Paul when he goes to a new town, he's not looking at the church. He's not looking at places to stay. He's going to prison. He's like, man, I'm not going to come here. Well, let's see what the prison's like here now. It was just his manner just to preach the gospel. But we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, looking at verse 17, it says, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I like how he words this here. He said, but for a light affliction, but for a moment. He said, it may be a hard time. It may be a difficult time. You know, Satan may be attacking, but it's light. Trust me. It's but for a moment. He said, how you do it? You look at the eternal things. You look to God. Don't focus on the things we can see, but focus on the things we can't see. Again, we're in this battle. We have this enemy out there, the god of this world. The greatest weapon we have is the Word of God, the gospel message. And he said, those times are going to come. But guess what? Just count of glory. Because that glory is going to work patient experience, and experience hope. He said, count it all glory. And as James put it, count it all joy. When those hard times come, it is a light affliction. It is but for a moment. There's time to look back at certain times in my life when I was going through it. I'm like, why is this happening? Why? I look back, I'm like, God had it control the whole time. It's easy to look back like, well, you know what? At that time, it felt like an eternity. It felt like the worst time of my life. I felt like this happened. I look back and I was like, wow. It's like God knows what He's doing. And it's okay to trust Him. It's okay to put our faith and trust in Him. Like Pastor said this morning, He's still in His throne. He's still in control. He hasn't forgotten about us. This didn't catch Him off guard by surprise. Everything is just going off of God's clock, off of His time and off of His plan. And again, as believers, we had that blessed hope to look forward to, and we focus on that eternal thing. We don't have to worry about what's going on around us. That doesn't mean just be ignorant about it, but at the same time, we don't have to stress about it. We don't have to worry about it, because God's in control. And you know, it's one thing to say it, it's another thing to live it. Now, Paul lived it. Although he was a man, you know, he was a sinner, but at the same time, he gave us great examples that, man, how many times he's thrown in prison, how many times he's beaten, he just get right back up. Because he knew that for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And that's the type of attitude we can have. Man, for me to live is Christ. For me to die is a gain. Because we get to be with Jesus. I mean, there's no negative there. I remember, you know, there's an old saying, you know, everyone in a foxhole. There's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. And there's many times where bullets fly and everything, and people just pray. They don't know what they're praying to, but they'll pray because there's a fear of death. And the Marine Corps will do anything they can to go through training, to try to prepare you, to get you over this fear of death. And there's just some people that can't get over it. This fear, because there's what's going to happen next. And if you're here tonight, if you're giving your life to the Lord, praise God. How are you serving Him? If you're giving your life to the Lord and Christ has saved you, man, you ought to be serving the risen Savior. There's no greater privilege in this world. We're not going to get to heaven and God say, man, you served too much. You should have took a break. It's like, no, we're going to get to heaven. We're going to think, wow, I wish I would have done more. I wish I would have did this. There's so much. I mean, if you're here this evening and you've never given your life to Christ, there is no greater day than today to be the day of your salvation. We're not promised tomorrow, but we are promised now, and we can have this opportunity. And see, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, talks about write these things and believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not a guessing game. It's not, well, you know, I hope I've done enough. I said a prayer. I think it worked. No, it's God doesn't make it a maze. He doesn't make it difficult. But He does say that you can know that you have eternal life. I remember at 10 years old, whenever that question was asked, I was reading it, and it just broke me, because I'm like, I knew enough about heaven and hell. I did not want to go to hell, and I did not want to be a Satan. I was like, I want to be with Jesus, you know, but I just didn't know, but the Holy Spirit is convicting me, and my parents, I went and talked to them, and I'm kind of embarrassed, and shamefully, I'm like, am I going to be in heaven when I die? And they took their time to explain, it's like, you know, your grandfather being a pastor, yeah, that doesn't matter. Us taking you to Sunday school, that means nothing. Us taking you to church, you know, serving, doing this, none of that matters. And I just, like, stink. I'm like, well, how do I get to heaven? Like, you give me the doom and gloom message, nothing matters. And they explained the gospel message to me, and I realized I was a sinner in need of a Savior and that Christ was the only way. We teach our children that verse. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me, John 14. That is a biblical truth right there. Jesus Christ is the only way. And in Romans chapter 10, verses 11 through 13, it talks about, it says the word all, it says the word whosoever twice. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, in verse 13. And verse 11, whosoever believe in the name of the Son of God shall not be ashamed. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slack, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John 3, 16, probably most familiar verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son in the world, to condemn the world, through the world, through Him might be saved. But we see the words whosoever, we see the word all, we see the word any, and those are important words. Because everyone in this room is a whosoever. Everyone in this town, everyone in this country, in this world, is a whosoever, and is all. God makes it easy. He gave us the great commission to go therefore and preach the gospel. And He said in Matthew chapter 28, let's just turn up real quick. It's probably familiar to most, but Matthew chapter 28, what we know as the great commission. Matthew chapter 28, again, He makes it easy. He said, just go to the all. You don't have to worry about, well, what about this? No, just go and preach the gospel to all, because Christ died for the all. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We have this opportunity to preach the gospel to the all. Which means, man, if you go to work, your coworker, your neighbor. And some of the hardest people to talk to is family. Trying to preach the gospel to a family member, maybe a close friend. And it's hard. It's like, what if I lose a relationship? What if, you know, X, Y, and Z? And if you will regret one day if you never preach the gospel to them. There is coming a day when we are running out of time. And quick over to John chapter 9 real quick. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, I believe it's verse 4. John chapter 9. Whenever Christ came, he had a very short ministry, you know, 3 years. It's not as long as we may think. 3 years are very short. But He said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And after He says that, He just spits on the ground, gets some mud, and He heals a blind man there. But He's saying, I must do the works of the Father. There is coming a time when the night's coming. And as believers, there's coming a time when either death comes or that trumpet sounds, and there will come a time when it will be too late. There will come a time where we won't be able to serve anymore. There will come a time we're not going to be able to preach the gospel to our friends, our neighbors, to our family. I mean, there is coming an end. We don't know when. No man knoweth the hour. But, man, that ought to encourage us that any time that trumpet's going to sound. And we ought to be looking up. We ought to be prepared. But at the same time, we ought to be going forward. We have an enemy that's not stopping. The God of this world, He's not going to stop. He's going to do everything He can to destroy, which means we got to do everything we can to keep going forward and to keep preaching that gospel message. Because we have the greatest answer that this world needs, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And again, there's no greater privilege that God would allow us, that He would allow us to preach this gospel message. And I'll end here in Matthew chapter 7 here. If we turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Again, if you're here this evening, you've given your life to the Lord, you're repented, you're saved, you're saved to the uttermost. You don't have to worry about salvations. God promises that you can know they have eternal life. And if you are, man, I challenge you, find a way to serve the Lord, because we're running out of time. But in the same sense, if you're here this evening and you've never given your life to the Lord, and you just don't know. Again, I was 10 years old. I was embarrassed to say something. My grandpa's a preacher. My dad's a deacon. My mom's a Sunday school teacher. I thought I was just supposed to know everything already. And I was ashamed and embarrassed to go up and say, I don't know. And if you're here tonight, if you're like me, like, I'm afraid, I don't know, or I tell you what, there will come a day when it will be too late. There's no greater day than today. It's not embarrassing. Eternal life is not something to be embarrassed about. Eternal life is a great thing that you can have, that you can know. But sadly, in Matthew chapter 7, and I would argue one of the saddest parts of Scripture in the Bible here, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. The saddest thing you could ever hear to stand before God and say, you know what, man, I went to Sunday school. I did this. I did that. I paid tithe. I did all this. And they hear Jesus say, depart from me. I never knew you. It's not that I knew you at one point. You didn't do enough. It's like, no, there was never a relationship there. There was never a time you realized you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Call upon the name of the Lord. Repent and give your life to the Lord. It says, I never knew you. The saddest thing you could ever hear is, depart from me. That's the last thing you're going to hear until you step off into eternity. What's amazing is, God did not make it a challenge or difficult. He gave us the way. And the Philippian jailer, I believe it's Acts chapter 13 or 16, the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe in the name of the Son of God, thou shalt be saved. If you're here tonight, you've never given your life to the Lord. If you just don't know, talk to somebody. Don't leave here without knowing, because you can know. It's the greatest assurance you could ever have, is the assurance of eternal life. And again, he says, I write these things that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know. You can know if you have eternal life. It is the one thing you do not want to mess around with. It's the one thing that you can know for sure. I tell you what, when you know, it's a great feeling. And to know that you've given your life to the Lord. I mean, the next step is just find a way to serve Him. There's no greater joy than to serve a risen Savior. There's nothing this world can offer that is more beautiful, more precious than to say, man, I got the opportunity to preach the gospel to someone. I got the opportunity to see someone get saved. You know, God does the saving, but it's amazing when a life is transformed. And we look at, you know, we say great stories like Saul, you know, a murderer, to Paul writing most of the New Testament, missionary. And that's the same gospel we have, and we can preach that same gospel today. The only limit is us. We're the ones that hold it back sometimes, but man, to say that I've given my life to the Lord, I'm going to serve Him, there is no greater pleasure in this world than to say I'm serving Christ. There's times we're going to fall. There's times we're going to mess up. But the greatest thing you could ever know right here, right now, is where would you spend eternity when you die? Because when you die, there's only two options. It's either hell or heaven. I mean, that's all that Scripture gives us. There's no purgatory. There's no intermediate stage. Like, well, I'll just figure it out and I get there. Like, no. As Pastor mentioned this morning, you're going to stand before God, and you better hope that Jesus is your advocate. You better hope that Jesus is there to say, hey, don't worry about it. I got it covered. And you can know that. And if you're struggling, you don't know, talk to somebody. Talk to your pastor, your Sunday school teacher, your parents. Anyway, just talk to, don't leave without talking to somebody. There's no greater joy than to know that if you're to die, you'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ. And He'll say, well done, that good and faithful servant. That is the greatest thing you could hear when you die. But there is another phrase you could hear, and you don't want to hear that one. Depart from me. But you can know you have eternal life, and there's no greater joy than that. If you're saved, you're saved. Praise God. Find somehow, some way to serve Him. We're running out of time. We have very little time left. And the last thing we want to be doing is sitting on our couch eating potato chips when that trumpet sounds. Man, I want to be running towards trying to serve, doing something for a risen Savior. So He gave His all for us. And in Philippians chapter 4, He said He humbled Himself even to the death of the cross. Christ wasn't kicked out of heaven. Christ wasn't forced. No, He humbled Himself. He came for His love for us. He came, He had His ministry, and He died and went through that punishment, that brutal punishment, and died on the cross for the all, for the whosoever. You talk about the greatest love story that could ever be heard. He did it because of His love for us. The very least we can do is give Him our life. He gave His all for us. The very least we can do is give Him our life and to serve a risen Savior. If you'll bow your heads and pray with me, and then, Pastor, I'll turn it over to you. But our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just grateful, Lord, that we can be privileged with this opportunity, Lord, just be able to preach Your gospel message, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if there's someone here tonight that is not saved or doesn't know, or just, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit just convict them, Lord. And that would they, if they're not saved, Lord, they would see a need for a Savior, Lord. I pray they'd have the courage to go up and talk to somebody. And, Lord, I don't want anyone to step off into eternity not knowing where they're going, Lord. I pray that You'll just convict them and show them, Lord. And I'm just thankful, Lord, that You would give us our opportunity to be able to serve You, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that we would have a heart and a mindset that would be one to serve You, Lord. We are just grateful and just thankful, Lord, for Your many blessings. But most importantly, Lord, our salvation through Christ and through Christ alone, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And then with heads bowed and eyes still closed, as He was finishing up there talking about the gospel, and want to know if you've truly been converted, what would you hear if you're standing before Christ? Would you hear those words, I never knew you? Or would you hear, enter into the joy of thy rest? Say, Pastor, I don't know what I would hear. I'm just not certain. I am concerned about my salvation. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Please pray for me. Well, you just slide your hand up. Let me acknowledge it, and you can put it back down. All right? Christian, we have been given the tremendous privilege and responsibility of the gospel. Even this week, the Lord will set up those divine appointments if you'll be faithful to it. If you leave here determined, I want to glorify God. I want God to use me. Grab some tracks. And then look for the Lord. Let alone besides coming out on Saturday. I mean, just look for the people God will put right before you. We have that message, that privilege, and that responsibility. If you're growing up in this nation right now, just like you said, there's multitudes. It was just 2 weeks ago. We had that fellow come in the military. First time he'd ever been in a church. Ever. If that was you, you had no idea what the gospel was about. If your only understanding of Christianity was what you saw on a television, where they're either mocked or you have a bunch of nonsense preachers on there. And that's you in that place. You'd never been. And the person you work with is you. How you are right now spiritually. And think about that. Would that scare you? I wouldn't even hear the gospel. I don't think you'd even ask me anything. We have a responsibility, we have the privilege to present that gospel. So if the Lord works on your heart, we want you to come and pray. Or if you have another need, maybe there's something else going on in your heart right now in life and you just need to come and pray. Well, come and pray. Father in heaven, bless this invitation, work in hearts and lives, Lord. I pray this in Christ's name.